Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. That's Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. This is God's word. Have you ever wondered if you can change? If you can really change and become a better person? Not just your appearance or your routine, but your very nature, your character, your heart. I have. I wish I was a better person. Kinder, purer, calmer, less anxious and more peaceful inside. Comedian Woody Allen once said, "My one regret in life is that I'm not somebody else." He wished he was different. He wished he could change. Yet we find it so hard to change. The great Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn once said that human nature changes about as fast as the surface of the earth. In other words, very slowly, or indeed hardly at all. Change is hard. To really change someone deeply, their nature, their character, their heart, it's like getting a camel through the eye of a needle. It's really impossible to deeply change someone in any lasting way. Perhaps it's a bit like starting a diet. Most people fall right back into their old ways pretty soon. And that's just a lifestyle change. We're talking here about a deep change of nature or of character. However, after speaking about hope last week, the hope that the resurrection of Jesus brings into the world, here's another message of hope. You can change. Yes, you can. You can change, not because you can change yourself, but because Jesus can change you. Here's the evidence in Luke chapter 19, or some of the evidence, in this beautiful little story of Zacchaeus, just 10 verses. We see here that Jesus came not merely to heal people or even to forgive people, but also to change people, to seek and to save the lost. To seek and to save the lost means to forgive and to change people, to restore them to the true image of God, to make them the beautiful people he made them to be. So what do you need to do to change in this way? Well, what did Zacchaeus do? The answer to that question is not much. He wanted to see who Jesus was, verse 3, and he made sure he did. That's all. He was interested. He was curious about Jesus. All he did was got himself into a position in a tree of all places where he could see Jesus. He was just curious, that was all. And even that wasn't really to his credit or due to some outstanding quality in him, because Jesus was just so magnetic. Everyone wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus just had to be a bit more creative to do so because he was a bit short. It was no big deal then that he wanted to see Jesus. Everybody did. If there's a stunning sunset in the evening and you take the trouble to go and see it, you don't feel all proud of yourself for doing so. It's the sunset that's the thing. It's the sunset that's the star, not you. And here, in this story, it's Jesus that's the star. It's Jesus that's the hero, not Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was and got himself into a position in a tree where he could see him. But Jesus did the rest. In fact, everything that truly mattered, Jesus did for him. Jesus could quite easily have walked past Zacchaeus and that would have been that, just another day. But he didn't. He looked up. He called him. He came into his life and he changed him. Jesus changed Zacchaeus beyond all recognition, his very nature, his character. What was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in the district. Now, there's nothing wrong in being a tax collector or a tax inspector or a tax man or working for the tax office. In fact, it's a good job in itself. May not be popular, never has been, but it's a good job in itself. Because taxes are a good thing, and we should pay them. Not avoid them or evade them, but pay them. The Bible says very clearly in Romans 13, verse 7, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. Because taxes pay for great things like the NHS, which we so much appreciate at the moment, or street lighting or road repairs and all kinds of goods and services that we appreciate and that make our lives better. But tax collectors like Zacchaeus then were not good men. They were not honest people. They would ask people for more money, much more than they were required to. That's how they became so rich. When tax collectors came to John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verse 13, for baptism in the River Jordan, they asked him what they should do to repent, to change their lives. John said, don't collect any more than you are required to. Because that's exactly what those tax collectors like Zacchaeus did. They collected more than they should and made themselves rich in the process and very, very unpopular, as you can see in verse 7. Really, he was the most unpopular guy in Jericho. All the people rejected him, detested him actually, but Jesus, we can see, accepted him, befriended him, loved him. Zacchaeus had been a bad person, a sinner for sure, a greedy person, a selfish person. But now look at verse 8. What has happened? He has changed beyond all recognition into a kind and generous person in a beautiful moment or a beautiful act of repentance from the heart. Zacchaeus has changed. So generous. First he announced, I'm giving half of my possessions to the poor. That's good riddance to the prosperity gospel, right? That gospel that says Jesus will make us richer. Didn't happen to Zacchaeus. Jesus made Zacchaeus poorer, much poorer. And yet, so much richer, spiritually and emotionally, and much happier and freer. So generous, far above what the law required, Zacchaeus offered to give back four times whatever he had cheated people out of. The law only required him to give it all back with 20% on top. That's Leviticus 6. Cheat your neighbor out of money, pay it all back, and add a fifth. But what did Zacchaeus do? He paid four times the amount. Not 20% on top, not 120%, but 400%. So generous. He has been changed beyond all recognition. In fact, paying back four times as much was really the law for stealing, according to Exodus 22, verse 1. Zacchaeus was admitting that he was really no better than a common criminal, a thief. He was indeed a sinner, as they charged him in verse 7. But now he was a saved sinner, and he wanted to make restitution. He wanted to make things right as far as possible. I think the great thing we see in this passage is that we get no sense here that Zacchaeus is just doing his duty, or that he's just obeying the law with a long face or a sigh or a grudge, just because he has to or he ought to. What we see here is a cheerful giver. His heart is bursting with freedom and joy. That response from Zacchaeus to Jesus is not one he has to force himself to make. Not at all. He's not just doing his duty or keeping the law. That response of sheer overflowing generosity and kindness comes naturally and spontaneously and gladly and freely and joyfully out of a whole new heart. His heart is filled with thankfulness, and he is so glad to have this opportunity to give his money away and to make things right. It gives him even more pleasure to stand up there in verse 8 in the presence of all the people, it would seem, and announce what he's going to do, that he's going to give all this money away. The happiest home in Jericho that day was the one that was giving pots of money away. So Zacchaeus was changed, gloriously changed, into a new person with a beautiful new character. He had a new heart and a new mind. He did not change himself. Jesus changed him. It was Jesus' call. It was Jesus' acceptance. It was Jesus' friendship that changed Zacchaeus. How can we change? Well, we can't. It's impossible for us to change our own hearts, our own deepest nature. One of our children's songs puts it this way: I am too weak. I cannot change my evil heart. I need someone to change me. The Bible says we can no more change our own hearts than we can change our skin or a leopard can change its spots. But God can. He can save and he can change us. Jesus can change us. Like Zacchaeus, we need to come to him to admit that we cannot save or change ourselves, to admit that we are lost, that we are sinners, and ask him to forgive, to save, and to change us. The Bible speaks of the possibility of a beautiful new character in Christians. It is called the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Fruit is often beautiful, colorful, and good for us. And so is this fruit, this character, these qualities in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Just listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What mouth-watering fruit the Holy Spirit can produce in a person's life. It's the very character of Jesus himself, in fact, and it's the character that he produces in us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So it can happen. You can change, but you can't change yourself, no matter how hard you try. Only Jesus can change you. Look to him. Come to him. Welcome him into your home and life, and let him, by his Spirit, begin to change you, to make you into the beautiful person he made you to be. And as we draw to a close, let me point out something else to you. The sacrifice Jesus makes for this man. It's there in verse 7. The sacrifice he makes for Zacchaeus. By receiving Zacchaeus, this tax collector, Jesus loses the crowd. He loses the approval and praise of the crowd. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. You can hear them spitting it out, can't you? He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. All the people who had just seen Jesus healing the blind beggar, probably among this crowd. And what did they do then? They praised God for it. Chapter 18, verse 43. But now they turn on Jesus for befriending Zacchaeus. For this one man, Jesus loses his crowd. Instead of praise, he now receives suspicion and grumbling against him. He sacrifices himself, his reputation, his popularity for this grubby little sinner that nobody likes. Jesus did that again and again, by the way, throughout his ministry. He was never interested in popularity for its own sake. And that sacrifice is just a hint of the great sacrifice he was about to make as he makes his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross for the sins of the world, for the sins of me, and for the sins of you. To forgive, yes, surely, completely, but also to change us into that beautiful character. And finally, before I leave you with a few questions to think and talk about, this is a time now, isn't it, when there is great opportunity to give, like Zacchaeus, to share, to serve. We can see it negatively as a time of hardship, and of course it is that. But we can also switch it around and look at it as a positive opportunity to learn more about generosity, sharing, serving, caring for one another. Those opportunities abound at the moment in this situation. And then, who knows, we may discover what Zacchaeus discovered. And what Jesus said another time, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed, it is a happier experience to give than to receive. Well, let me leave you with those few questions. I'm going to give you four questions, in fact, to think and perhaps to talk about later. First of all, how can you really change your character? Secondly, how do you think Zacchaeus felt about giving away large amounts of money? Most people wouldn't be too happy with that, but how do you think Zacchaeus felt about giving away large amounts of money on that day? Thirdly, check out 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 13 to 15. I'll let you read them for yourselves. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 13 to 15. And ask yourself this question: what does it mean for us now, as a church and beyond, And how can we share our money and possessions with people in need in this current situation? How can we share with them? And finally, like Zacchaeus, do you need to right any wrongs you have done to other people? Do you need to make restitution? Do you need to make things right?